Can we get much higher?
So high.
We're here for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And the Lottery Office, the world's biggest jackpots. Learn to play. LotteryOffice.com.au. Nick Del Santo, how lovely to see you.
Good afternoon, Andy. Good to see you too.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. Firstly, congratulations. I know how passionate you are about the Liverpool Football Club. Now, I would accuse you of jumping on board on the bandwagon, but there's times it's a shame that there's no vision with this station, because this needs to be seen to be believed. You are wearing quite possibly the oldest Liverpool T-shirt. Jesus might have worn that when he was a young kid as well. That is how old that top is.
I may have slept in his T-shirt
last night. It's got holes in it. You don't have to walk around like a groupie because they come back from 3-0 down to get over the line.
Look, Del, it was... There's been enough disappointment in recent times. The semi-final first leg last week, the Premier League, you know, disappointment on the weekend when Man City got the 3 points. So last night, I didn't set the alarm. I thought, nah, they're not going to win this. I need a good night's sleep.
What time?
5 o'clock was the game start,
kick-off,
right?
Yes.
So I woke up. It was about 13 past five. I know exactly what time it was because I rolled up. I woke up and I thought, the phone's by the bed. I'll check the score. So I rolled over, 13 past five, 1-0.
Yes, 6 minute mark. Yep.
I thought, I'm not going to go back to sleep now. So I'll just get up and go downstairs and have a cup of tea and watch this. It was ridiculous. Some things you can't believe what you're seeing. It was a jaw-dropping moment in sport. We watched the final, a lot of us in Istanbul back in 2005, and that was remarkable. But that was sort of in the flow. It was 3-0 at half-time, and they came back in the game. You had a week to think about the impossibility of this. And then the way it was, you and I have spoken about the last goal, the brilliance, the instinctive brilliance of a 20-year-old Trent Alexander-Arnold, just thinking quicker than everybody else on the ground. I mean,
was it a set piece?
Well, I don't think...
I know it was a corner kick, but was that a tactic? Would that ever have been spoken about?
What do you think?
Well, it's hard to relate to. So I don't know, but at that level, and I'm still amazed at that level of competition, that these are always the best players in the world that get the result, get the job done. Now, you're going up against Barcelona. They've got every other superstar in the world as well. We understand the scenario in front of us. But did he think faster than the others?
No,
or was that
did.
A moment of saying, if we ever need this trick play? It's like in baseball when you've got the ball in your mitt and you pretend like you've thrown it and then you've still got it in your mitt and you tag him out and you go, you silly duffer.
Yeah.
It was one of those moments.
It was just his brain. I think it was that. I don't think you can ever, in pre-game or midweek or match sim or whatever you're doing, you never say, listen, I'll tell you what, if you ever see the defence a bit more conscious about setting up, walk away from the... keep an eye on him and then you stand there, just make sure you're on,
Imagine Jurgen Klopp speaking through that and you'd be going, manager, just stop talking. That is just a ridiculous set piece and a scenario. Yeah, we're going to do that in a massive, massive game when we're down 3-0 against Barcelona. That's what we're going to pull out of our pocket.
So here's the footy thing I want to... take me inside the AFL. You played over 300 games. I want you to take me inside the Monday to Friday realities of being on an AFL list. Mm-hmm. Jurgen Klopp today, the manager of Liverpool, has to call on by the name of Divock Origi, who doesn't start. He's a sub. He's come on and he scored a vital goal against Newcastle on the weekend that proved to be, count for naught in the big scheme of... well, possibly count for naught in the big scheme of things. He starts today and scores two goals, crucial goals, right? Scores the first, scores the last. How difficult is it for a coach to keep every player on your squad, give us the AFL context here, engaged, happy, motivated, up?
Yep.
Because this group looks like that. They don't look like they've got a miserable passenger, woe is me-ing it, about not getting enough game time.
Yeah, it's difficult. I think it's even more difficult at AFL football because of probably the age demographic. You've got kids from much different backgrounds because there's not the academies that a lot of these big clubs have. So there's different backgrounds. There's also bigger lists. So you've got 45 and then ultimately 22 play each week. So the easy answer to it is no. Everyone is never always happy. And even if the starting 22, players are playing half forward flank, forward pocket, and they all want to play on ball. But you've got to bide your time and it's what's best for the team in that particular moment. But that is still the greatest challenge of a senior coach and coaching staff at AFL level to... you hate to say motivate the group because you'd love for them to be motivated.
Exactly.
But stimulate.
Yep.
And the other argument with AFL football is there's a period of the football year where you sort of feel like you're going through the motions. And it's in the middle of winter when it's just the monotony of day in, day out preparation. I think the best coaches find an analogy or a theme for a week to just keep stimulating and getting players ready to go. I still don't think it's possible most times to get all 22. I look at the Western Bulldogs for the year that they won the premiership.
Yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from Luke Beveridge, but the players could feel it. You could sense it. The Hawks did it for a long period of time. You feel like the Cats have probably got it at the moment.
It where feels they're a bit
just,
like that. Yep.
You know,
yep.
It's just working yep. for them. But it is a huge, huge task. I mean, all players at whatever level of soccer that they're playing, like the top end, they're all there because they're talented. Mm. That's not an issue. They're all playing senior football because they're really, really good at something about the game. But it's the mental part is it is difficult to front up day after day to get your body right, to recover, to find the stimulation and motivation to go again and again. And I always found it was harder after you'd played a good game, Andy. It was more difficult after you felt like you'd played a decent game, you have a win, because you want to enjoy it for a period of time. Losing was a bit easier because you go, well, I'm going to turn this around. Like, let's play tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't care how sore I am. I'm not doing that again. And I'm happy to play tomorrow if you want me to.
Yeah.
And that's when you love a six-day break because you get to front up and not prove people wrong. I was never about proving people wrong, but almost yourself and just to get back on board and, you know, get going again. So
who was good? Did you have one of your coaches that was – I'm not asking you to say that any of them weren't good at it.
Yep.
Because I imagine
some weren't.
I guess
one wasn't. But we'll speak about the positive, yeah.
Well, do you want to mention the one that, okay.
No, let's say positive.
Who was really good at that?
Grant Thomas.
I imagine Tomo would.
I got there as a 17-year-old and we won 4 games in my first year and I went out onto the park and maybe I was naive and, you know, a bit oblivious to what the actual competition was about. I honestly thought we could not lose every single game. He just had this ability to bind us together, to find a theme, to attach ourselves to a purpose every single week. And then Ross Lyon to a different degree.
Did that sort of stimulus ever wear thin? Did you go, like, no. Oh, here we go again? Like, was there
not
ever...
when you're getting results. So yeah, when I was right, young, okay. So yeah. What I'm trying to say is when you're young, you're not probably aware enough of the game, your own performance, and then where it fits in with the team to get the result. You look at someone like Ross Lyon, when you actually start getting results from it, you buy in. It becomes a bit of a, not a brainwash, but like in a good way. You think, well, I do what you say. I buy into this group and the way that we're playing and we win. That's what I have to do. I give you effort and I give you some performance and we win. I'm in. Yeah. I put my hand up every single day to do that. Yeah. So that's where it becomes a bit infectious.
So the other part of what happened overnight this morning our time that there is a football parallel to is Liverpool win their semi-final.
Yes.
Incredibly unlikely circumstances. And they are now they're in the Champions League final.
Mm.
They haven't won anything yet, right? But the celebration was extraordinary. Arm in arm, singing the song, tears on faces, facing their legion of loyal fans at the Kop end.
Yep.
And
singing.
Singing. And I heard Gary and Tim talk about this morning, about, you know, celebrating before they've won anything. They put it into the AFL context as they were having this conversation. This is a bit of how that conversation went.
Or ask you, if we saw players celebrating a prelim final victory in the AFL,
they
like Liverpool have just celebrated a semi-final victory, what would we be saying about them?
Getting ahead of themselves, these blokes.
So, and those, they're saying it with a smile on their face, clearly those two, but that there would have been people saying that. Hang on, you haven't won anything, you blokes. Like, calm down. Surely there is a time, and St Kilda famously didn't celebrate a pre-season competition.
Grumpy Grant Thomas and Lenny Hayes.
All of that. Let's not. We've done nothing.
And that's why, because it was a feeling like we hadn't achieved what we wanted to just yet.
Of course, we understand that.
But was there a team recently, I feel like in the last year or two, that we've spoken, well, they've already played the grand final. The way that, was it Melbourne? And then they ultimately go over and play that prelim against West Coast. That the way that
I think, yeah.
But why? It's more. You know what I mean? I'm with you. But we would say that if we're watching. Imagine if let's use that. If we watch Liverpool and we're now watching this year, it's Essendon wins a final and they haven't won a final for quite a while.
Exactly.
Or the D's do it again, whoever it may be, and they celebrate. Maybe not to the point where they're facing the Great Southern Stand and they're singing the club song, you know, facing their audience.
It was extraordinary.
But we would say they're getting carried away. They've got bigger fish to fry next week. Yep. Switch on, get down into the rooms, have your recovery and get going again.
So, again, take me inside the is it impossible if you celebrate a great and unlikely victory 6, 7, or 8 days later to be back in game mode again?
No.
Of course
it's not. The simple answer is no. And I remember winning 2 prelims. The initial feeling was relief that we'd finally got over that line. We played the Western Bulldogs twice. One was, in 09 was the biggest one because I think we played 3 or 4 prelims and lost up until that point. That was a huge relief. And then you get that excitement like, we get to be a part of grand final week. Like, this is going to be pretty cool. And we get an opportunity to win, you know, in 7 days' time. That was the feeling. But it does change very quickly in football. Like, you go down in the rooms and you'll often hear players and they still speak about it. Their most enjoyable time is the 45 minutes after a game. You sing the song.
Yep.
You have a really quick meeting with the coach and the coaches and it's often positive.
Yep.
You go and, you know, eat something, hydrate and have a shower. Then you walk home and you go your own way and then you regroup the next morning and it's game mode again. It becomes recovery, massage, getting everything right to get ready for 7 days' time.
And don't tell me these guys, and it'll probably be a different 11 that takes to the pitch at the start of the Champions League final when they get to
when is Madrid. How long?
3 weeks.
Okay.
Actually, don't even know the date.
Could roughly.
Be, yeah, about that. Yep. It could be somebody will send through the date. 0433981116. I'll look it up if nobody does. But 2nd of June it is. So there you go. It's 3.5, 4 weeks away.
Yes.
But they will be exactly that. They'll have a good night's sleep tonight. They'll be proud of what they've achieved tomorrow morning when they wake up. But they know they've got to go again. They've got a big game in the Premier League this week. You never know. Man City might fall over this week. Yeah. They've got to win, you know, against Wolves. So,
how would you feel if that did happen? If they fall over this week?
Man City and Liverpool win.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it'd be ridiculous.
Okay.
I mean,
have you got a priority?
It's funny because I've seen them win a Champions League final. And yet, since, you know, the English league is what it is now, since it moved from the old to the new, Liverpool's never won one.
Yeah.
So, I wonder whether Liverpool supporters would be more inclined to win the Premier League than they would the Champions League. They might not have the choice of one over the other, but I'd probably take that.
Okay.
You're here for the 2019 Sandown Cup, by the way. They're supporting your appearance here today, which is absolutely lovely.
No, I always go for the mustard.
The mustard?
Yep, the mustard box.
Which is the mustard box? The yellow?
Yeah, the yellow.
Is that the 2 box?
Not sure.
6.
Or is it 5?
5.
Isn't it mustard 5?
The good dog from a good box is a good bet. I only ever back red dog. That's all I ever do. Back the red or the pink.
Why?
Because everyone else gets squeezed.
Don't give me this theory like you know what's going on in the dog box.
Lou's in East Malvern has jumped on the line. Good afternoon to you, Lou.
G'day, guys. You'd appreciate this one, Murray. 1999 prelim, Carlton beating Essendon. I don't think they gave a stuff if they didn't win the grand final after that game.
It's a good point.
Mm.
There is and it's a disgraceful thing for Carlton supporters to admit.
What's that? That you were happy to make the granny?
There's a bit of you that says, and that was the high point of 1999. It's ridiculous. Well, I know how stupid that sounds.
I was an Essendon supporter growing up. I went and played golf that day because I thought it was a done deal. But I'll just go have a nice hit, have a nice Saturday afternoon. I'll be ready to go next week for the granny.
We have talked about this.
Hey,
Phil in Williamstown called in and said, what the hell happened in the Liverpool game? So in case you're sitting there and you don't know what happened, it was the second leg of a Champions League semi-final. The first leg was played last week in Barcelona at the New Camp. Barcelona won 3-0. It meant that Liverpool had to square that to go into extra time or score 4 to Barcelona's nil none today at Anfield. And that's exactly what they did. In regular time, Liverpool won 4-0. So they go through to the Champions League final, Phil, and they'll play the winner of the second match tomorrow, which is between Tottenham and Ajax. Ajax take a 1-0 lead into that and are playing at home. There's a heap of stuff to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about Monday when you were here.
Yes.
You wanted to talk about Rowan Marshall.
Yeah.
Can we have a chat about Rowan Marshall and Fair Celebrate?
Love to.
Subway lunch hour. Head to Subway. Try the new hot grilled paninis. Nick Del Santo in the studio. Nick Del Santo's in the studio. We had a bit of an off-air conversation. You're a big fan of Rowan Marshall.
I am.
Big fan.
And getting bigger.
We had a bit of a chat about this the other day off air. It was on our list to do on Monday. We didn't get to it. We will get to it after the break. You were so bullish about Rowan Marshall that I said, yeah, look, he's good. He's a real promising kid, but he's not even going to be the best Marshall in the AFL. And you looked at me like I was a moron. I said, well, Todd.
I said, name the other Marshall
so
first.
I said, Todd. And you went, all.
Yeah, I said, oh, good point.
But you're stuck with Rowan. So yes. There's a two-bunger, and we want you to weigh in on this. We just want to take a couple of snap polls. So think about it now. We'll open the lines up after the next ad break. Who's going to be the best Marshall? Mm-hmm. Will it be Rowan or Todd? They're both going to be fantastic.
Yeah, so Todd plays for Port Adelaide for those that aren't right across all other teams outside of Victoria.
He's blonde kid, plays key forward.
And not a bad player.
We're celebrating both of them, so we're not saying one's no good. We're saying they're both outstanding.
Yes.
So who's going to be the better one? And then I said to you, come to think of it, he's not even the best young ruckman in the league.
Which I challenge you with as well.
Well, you looked at me like I was a complete brain-dead moron. And you said, well, who is? And I said, Tim English is a better young player. And again, I'm not potting Rod Marshall. I really like Rowan Marshall. I think Rowan Marshall's a fantastic player. But I really like Todd. And maybe it's the blondes. I don't know. I've been drawn to
it. Todd and Tim.
We'll have a chat about that. So if you've got a really strong view about about Todd v. Rowan, or English v. Marshall, who's going to end up being better, just to celebrate the quality of young players coming through the game at the moment, feel free to join us when we get there. Eddie Maguire made before we get to the break, Eddie Maguire made an Eddie Maguire kind of contribution to the footy conversation the other day in his dual role, one, of course, being Collingwood president. They play Carlton this week, the other one being a media pundit. He said something about, if I was Mark LeJudice, Carlton president, I'd be ringing Alistair Clarkson, seeing what he's doing.
Yep.
So Collingwood president, you can't separate it. The Collingwood president weighs into the Carlton coaching situation. It was sort of mentioned here and there, but nobody sort of made too big a deal about it. Well, Nathan Buckley was asked about it this morning with Jared, talking about those Eddie Maguire comments, and this is a bit of what the coach had to say.
If it was with his Collingwood hat on, it would be inconsistent with the way that the way we want to carry ourselves and the way that we view our respect and understanding of the fact that competition's important and we've got places and things to talk about and things to let go. But I'm sure that would add to the mix or the fuel in some shape or form. But once again, it's largely irrelevant for us when we hit the field.
It did trigger in me is if Eddie's thinking that way for a club that has these imponderables in front of it, whether in the time when he was pondering your reign, whether he did go and have that coffee with Alistair Clarkson.
You'd have to ask him.
I might do that.
Yeah, go for it.
Do you think he might have?
I don't know. Do you reckon you'll get an audience to ask him?
I reckon you'd get that question.
I'd just
through.
Be supposing and talking about hypotheticals about something that may have or may not have about something in the past that I can't control. So why go there?
He's fantastic. They
well
both
played.
Are, of course. Well played,
well
Nathan.
Played.
Well played. So the very start of that, Dell, was if he was talking about that with the Collingwood presidential hat on, right?
Yes.
He clearly wasn't. Right? Clearly Eddie, in his own mind, can separate the two.
Mm.
Can you? Are you happy with that? When he weighs into that area.
Yes.
Like
it's always blurring the lines, though, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah,
this is
not the first time we've had this conversation.
Of course not.
About Eddie. So
now the conversation you're asking is it okay for Eddie? Well, for Eddie, it is. Otherwise, he wouldn't be speaking like that because he'd be wearing the dual hats of president and a prominent radio presenter in the mornings on a really big morning program where a lot of people listen, and a lot of it's about football as well.
Of course, it is.
But it's not up to Eddie to decide which hat he gets to wear, isn't it? About therefore the pressure that it puts on the Collingwood Football Club. Bucks is the senior coach that has to respond to questions. And probably the broader community, when they are listening to it, they can't separate who it is. It's Eddie Maguire.
I'm forever. There's so many footy issues you can discuss. There's a million of them. And Eddie, this is the one area I reckon that he gets himself into, and he doesn't care what I think. He doesn't probably care what most of us think. He is an entity to a large degree unto himself when it comes to this sort of stuff, and he deserves the right to be heard. But he's been a giant of the industry and all of that. But there is a but here that there are so many other things in footy you can talk about. Given the conflict that he forever carries with him,
yeah,
I don't know why he weighs into that.
So you reckon he should just bite his tongue then?
Talk about something else.
Okay.
No, they're playing.
But what happens if it's on the agenda?
No, no.
It is on the agenda.
Take the fifth. Hey, listen, boys. I know you want me to say something about this. We're playing Carlton this week. I'm the president of Collingwood. It would be inappropriate for me to say anything. Everyone's going to go, fair enough, Ed. No problems. No one's going to slaughter him or crucify him if he decides to pardon himself from a conversation about another team's coaching position.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to stop listening to him because of that.
I'm with you. I've got no concern with that.
I bet you. Hey, listen.
Do you have a concern with it?
I don't think it's inappropriate.
Okay.
I think it's wrong for him to talk about
another
club's coaching position. Okay. I do. I think he should excuse himself from that conversation. Eddie is president of Collingwood Adam Mead. If he wants to talk about direction of the game, big picture stuff, if he wants to join in the Rowan Marshall conversation, fine. No problems. Go your hardest. But there are just some things that are a bit more sensitive than others, I reckon. And you can. I'd love to hear from a couple of Collingwood supporters in particular. Mm. Do you have an issue with your president weighing into this? If you could be an advisor for a minute to Eddie, you say, keep going, mate. You're a superstar. You're a legend. You've been brilliant for our footy club. And, you know, we just want you to keep doing what you're doing. Or would you prefer that on matters like other teams' coaching positions, he just doesn't... I mean, he can have all the fun in the world. And he does. I mean, he's great at the shtick and the theatre. But this was quite a serious issue. It's the week after they've been poleaxed. Yeah. I don't know, just...
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Should Carlton hierarchy speak to Clarko?
I think right here, right now, Carlton would be derelict in its duty as a board and a footy operations department if it wasn't considering all sorts of options beyond the here and now. I think they will be... Their number one their number one hope will be that Brendan Bolton, between now and the end of the year, starts getting some reward for effort. That's what they'll be thinking. So let's get 6 wins on the board between now and the end of the year and the Wolves will be gone from the door, whatever the number is.
Yep.
But if they get more of what happened on Sunday, if they get another half a dozen of those between now and the end of the year, well, of course they have to be thinking about what lies ahead.
What are they going to get on Saturday? Let's go.
Oh, well.
The future.
That's a good question.
4 or 5 days' time. What happens on Saturday at the MCG?
Well, what do you think? What are your expectations going to be?
I'm working the game.
What are your expectations?
It's going to be nasty. It's going to, I think, as good as Collingwood are, and I saw the game last week as we both did against the Kangas, that was Carlton, not even from last year, that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's
how bad it looked. From the word go. It was just, the Kangas had a focus and it was hunt the ball or the person with the football.
I couldn't agree
anymore. It just had a bad smell about it from the very first bounce.
Uncompetitive.
Yep.
You can't, I mean, that is the one thing you couldn't have said about them for the... And we're not talking... Let's not turn this into... But I wanted your view about the expectation going into Saturday.
Yep.
So it's up to that team to do something about not letting that happen.
Outside of Cripps.
Let's clear a break. Tom, Kirk, I know you want to have a chat about Ed. We'll do that. Let's get us a break out of the way. Tony on the Gold Coast, I know you want to join in about the young ruckman. We'll have a chat about that with you as well. Dell is here thanks to the 2019 Sandown Cup, the world's richest staying race, Friday, May 24. Well, a snapshot of, I think, hopefully all the people that are called in are Collingwood supporters about the, you know, whether the Prez should be buying into another club's coaching position. We'll have a chat to you in a moment. But Tony's on the Gold Coast, Del.
Yes.
And I think he was stimulated by our Rowan Marshall v. Tim English conversation. Something just dawned on me about Rowan Marshall.
That he is really good?
He's really old. He's really old.
How old is
compared
he?
Compared to some of the two other blokes.
He's 23. He's a kid.
Yeah, he's been in the system a lot longer than these other two little pups that we're talking about. Tony, you want to talk about young ruckman?
Yeah, well, how are you going, boys, anyway? Long-time first on here.
Oh, welcome.
You may know me as the alias of Gold Coast Crow on the text line, so I do listen to you a bit.
Good on you.
Anyway, young Riley O'Brien, I reckon he's looking like he's actually gonna maybe even hold source out when he's fit, in my opinion. He's just gone from strength to strength for the Crows since Source got injured.
Going all right, isn't he? He's broad-boned and competitive and physical. He's going all right.
A baby giraffe.
Yeah.
He's been okay, in all seriousness.
And he actually works, and like he just keeps working and working. Like when he came off the ground the other night, mate. He was absolutely spent.
If you had to cast a vote, though, Tony, as to who's going to end up being the best marshal, Todd or Rowan, who's going to be the best marshal?
Let's just holler for one. I don't care.
Right, there you go. Thanks for buying it.
Rowan.
Yeah. I think you said Rowan. I think you said Rowan.
Yep.
Tom's in Mill Park. The never-ending story about Eddie and the split roles. Tom, fire away, mate.
Thanks for taking my call, gents, and had a great day so far. I love Eddie. God bless him. As far as I'm concerned, he's got his commentator's hat on. That's where he earns his living. That comment will give the game a little bit of spice. My view on it is that he's well entitled to make that opinion. I really think that he's probably looked at the situation with Brendan Bolt. How long he's been there? I think it's a fair call.
That's a vote in the affirmative. Tom, thanks for kicking it off. I'll give you a double pass to the Collingwood St Kilda game, May 18. And just stand by. After 1 o'clock, we're going to give somebody the opportunity to take a table, you and a table of seven mates, to the Collingwood President's Club lunch that day, thanks to our good friends at Subway. We'll tell you a bit more about that after the 1 o'clock news. Dom is up at Alice Springs. Hi, Dom.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Very well, good, thank you.
Yep. So, listen, I'm a lifelong Collingwood supporter, and to be honest, most of the time what Eddie says is pretty embarrassing. He's a bit of a flog, but I'll tell you what. The week before we play Carlton, get the big stick out, give them a whack, stir it up, they're a rabble, and then we'll go out and flog them on the weekend. It'll be fantastic. Expose them for the joke that they are.
No, thank you, Dom. Thank you. You've had a crack at just about everyone on the way through there. Oh, I think he's a lot of things, Eddie, but he's not a flog. I won't let that one slide through.
Are you happy with his comments on the Blues?
I think Eddie's probably vaudevilling it up a little bit. Like, I think he's an old...
Is there a part of it that we like the theatre of it?
I love the theatre of it.
This might lead to another conversation. You can have this in the next 2 hours. We touch on it really briefly. About you've lost the... I think the word you used was tribalism. We've lost the feeling of players hating, disliking their opponents. They shake hands. They have a joke. There's none of that in that. Like, the beauty of our game was that it was territorial.
Absolutely.
It was my suburb versus your suburb.
Yep.
So is there part of it, and I might be playing devil's advocate here a little bit, is there part of it where we enjoy the, hey, we're coming at you. You are our arch rival, and we're going to dish it up, and we're going to spice it up a little bit. Kevin Sheedy was the best of it.
Mate, I love that stuff.
But is there any part of that that you go to Eddie, brilliant, say what you think, and we'll see who comes out on top on Saturday afternoon.
Well, Eddie grew up in that. He grew up in that era. He was carved.
Why can't we have more battles? Why can't we be a little bit more outspoken and stir it up a little bit?
Because you blokes...
Hey,
I'm pointing at you,
Why
Nick
are you
Del
pointing
Santo,
at me?
Because you're part of the problem. Players... I don't reckon players have the same...
I don't play.
It wasn't that long ago. I don't think you might. There might be an individual here and an individual there you don't like.
Absolutely.
But when you were playing for St Kilda, was there a team that you just wanted to tear?
Port Adelaide.
Well, when St Kilda played Port Adelaide, you want to rip each other apart.
No, they were my most disliked team at
because
the time.
Because of the team or because of an individual within the team?
Both. Well, first of all, they used to terrorise us when I was 17. used to teach us the way and let us verbally know about it.
Yeah.
But they were the team that I disliked the most.
So you're saying
because, and then all the other 16 teams or whatever it was, that you didn't have that hatred for it, that it dropped away, that it was too chummy?
Well, there's something I'm going to talk about later on the show. I'm going to throw it open because I reckon there's something in the DNA of a lot of older supporters, and I think this is an ageist thing. I'll stand to be corrected on this, but I think if you are of that, you know, sort of 40-plus, when there was probably the last vestiges of the genuine tribalism that was sort of to be... kind of celebrated or rejoiced in started to really disappear. It really only exists now, I think, in Adelaide and in Perth. I reckon those two games now are the closest games you get to what, you know, Essendon v Hawthorn.
What's going to happen with the Pies and the Blues this weekend? Another game?
Well, that's my horrible fear. I despair that it doesn't mean nearly as much to the 2019 version of these two playing groups as it did to the groups back in 1981.
Collingwood Essendon, Anzac Day.
They run through the banner together. I mean, for all of the right reasons.
Yes.
But you can't question the commitment of those two groups on Anzac. They had a crack at one another all day. But it's not that. And look, maybe the fact that Spite's out of the game is a good thing, but there was an edge back in the day to some of these great rivalries, and I think it's partly to do with the players. Del, you all move around a bit more.
Yeah, definitely part of that.
You come from the same pool.
Yeah,
you played together at under 18 level. You've been in under 16 squads together. You've known each other for a long time. And oh, well, good luck over there, and I'll go over here, and I'll see you when we play each other. We'll catch up then. Oh, and if you kick a goal on me, I'll give you a little pat on the ass and
rubbish,
say, "Well played."
Rubbish taps on the
mate.
If you can show me someone that taps someone else on the bum after they've kicked a goal on them, then we've got issues. Joe, that's not happening.
Joe's in Inglewood. Last comment on the Eddie Maguire comments. Do you have any issues with it at all as a Collingwood supporter, Joe?
No, mate, I'm a Hawks supporter. Oh. But look, I listen to you guys because I really want to get all the news out of it. So as Eddie, I'm hoping that he's talking exactly with his media hat on and talking about everything, not skirting some issues just because he's president of some club. I want to hear everything that his opinion is. So, yeah, I want him to talk about anything he wants to talk about and leave his hat for when he's in the office.
Oh, it's good. It's good to hear that, Joe, because there's some of us who think that it's on some matters, it's actually impossible for him to do that. So, but I'm clearly from people like you and others who have weighed in, it's quite possible for him to do that.
Mm.
And that's a good thing. Because
a lot of fans are
talking to the Joes of the world. He's not talking to me, you know.
Of course. But that's where people speak as well. You speak about the Joes of the world, how they talk. They're saying the same sort of thing. Carlton supporters are questioning Brendan Bolden. They're probably looking who the next replacement could be.
Yeah, but they're more invested in Carlton than Eddie Maguire is. Eddie Maguire's president of Collingwood.
But isn't he in some ways just voicing what the average punter's thinking and saying anyway?
Well, yeah, but this is, we can keep going around in circles here. He's not just an average punter. He's the president of Collingwood.
I understand that, Andy.
Calls again, Del, on the AGN open line. They've got you and I having a blue now.
Mm.
Love winter, love natural gas, Australian gas networks. Have you got a fine, like a red wine, a fine bottle
of player of the week?
Have you got one for me?
Oh, I do.
On the other side of the road,
can
you get it to me?
It's sort of breaking my heart a little bit, this one.
Del's here with a McCafe coffee. In hand, McCafe are our coffee partner. Smooth barista made coffee from McCafe, available 24/7. We're doing this fine wine player of the year, player of the week.
Yes.
Watch. We want it sponsored, clearly.
By Grange Hermitage.
Sample some product.
Yes, please.
You're nominating somebody 30 plus.
Yeah, 30 plus, because, well, like we've just done again today, we're celebrating Rowan Marshall, Tim English. Mm. Todd Marshall. So we're always talking about these young players. There's the rising star about these guys that have potential that may actually do something in the future. Let's speak about the guys that are doing it. Let's
Please
give credit
do.
To the players that are actually turning up week after week that are over that dangerous age of 30 and they're about to retire and they're washed up and they're straining their calves. That's a sign of oldness. I want to celebrate these players.
Age. Oldness, I like.
I want to sell. I'm getting frustrated. Yeah,
go on, I like it.
But this one hurts me a little bit as well because it's Sean Higgins this week.
Oh. Go on.
He was good.
He was very good.
He was real good. You know what would have been nice?
Why does it hurt you to
play him? Because Pill annoys me. Right. He's got a big head and rates heavy and all that sort of stuff that comes with Sean Higgins. But it would have been nice for a Carlton player to play on him.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
He's handy. He's the best kick at that football club.
Yeah, it would have been
he walks away with 37 disposals, going at 73% disposal efficiency. Kicks the two behinds, but has 11 score involvements. Six of them were inside 50. And the bit I loved about his performance, zero tackles.
Right.
Sean Higgins is my type of player, Andy.
Love your work, Del.
Good stuff.